At Jim K. Ford, we know that your business is your livelihood. That's why we offer a wide range of Ford commercial vehicles and Ford Pro services to meet all of your professional needs. Whether you're looking for a tough, durable pickup truck or a spacious cargo van, we have the perfect vehicle for you. And with Ford Pro, we make it easy to customize your ride with options and business solutions that are tailored to your unique requirements. Take your business to the next level. Come on down to Jim K. Ford or visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding.
Well, we are recording this on a Monday, so Come Monday by Jimmy Buffett might seem appropriate. Jimmy Buffett passing away on the weekend, one of the greats in the music industry. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. It is the SWP. It is Steve Warren along with Jungle Jim Jerome. I'm in Ottawa. He's in Edmonton. Coming up today, we'll talk a little hockey. We got some golf talk in there. We've got a new women's professional hockey league, including a team right here in Ottawa. So lots to get to, along with the usual hoopla.
I wonder, though. I didn't know that. Yeah, Jimmy Buffett. I was never a big Jimmy Buffett fan. But I was reading the other day that this may surprise you, it may not, Stevie boy. Like his net worth is through the roof. Through the roof. Jimmy Buffett's net worth. You know, a quiet sort of folk singer guy. You hear about Kanye and all these other guys, you know, making Justin Bieber and all these guys. But this guy was way up there, there. And for sure, it's because of longevity, you know. Ironically, well, he died, but he had some longevity.
It is a little surprising, I think. You know, he's obviously, I think he had all kinds of business ventures. He certainly toured a ton. Mm-hmm. But in terms of big hits, I mean... there's two beloved ones for me, Margaritaville, like you just mentioned, and In Your Way, and Come Monday. And there's been some others as well, but I don't see like his massive body of work, but he certainly was extremely popular. He had a cult-like following, and certainly as far as party music goes, he's right there. And just genuinely, if you've ever seen him in concert, he just has such a great time with the audience, smiling, laughing, joking it up, loves the weed, that one.
Yeah.
And just one of those likable guys. So it was certainly sad to hear that news on Friday.
Yeah, I think he had, I know he had a restaurant in Phoenix. I don't know if it was a big chain thing that he did, but apparently it was when the Yotes, Stevie, the Coyotes moved out of the downtown or into their new one, of course, the controversial Phoenix area of the arena, you know, too far from that, yada yada. Anyway, the development around there is crazy cool. It's where the Cardinals play too, and it's just the biggest, most massive development I've ever seen out of nothing. It's like it just popped out of the ground with, you know, 3-4 hotels and a really cool restaurant area and hub around there, and his restaurant was the biggest and most popular. So, and apparently the story anyway is he often showed up there,
right,
when he was around to hang out and play a little bit. And so
it's interesting when we shuffle off this mortal coil, how some of us play it and how others play it. Like I think about Jimmy Buffett. He had known he was very sick for 4 years battling away. I think about Norm Macdonald, who was sick for a very long time and not that many people knew it. He kind of kept it quiet.
Right.
How would you play it? You get this terminal diagnosis. Are you letting the world know, letting everybody around you know, or are you just going to kind of do this thing quietly?
Well, it's funny you say that. I lost a buddy. You know, as we get older now, we're losing some friends. And a very good friend of mine died a few years ago. He actually did an assisted death. You know, he was just riddled with cancer and trying to fight it and hanging on there. He didn't want to die. He was too young. He wasn't one of these people that was going to go quietly.
Yeah.
So he fought and fought and fought. And then the ultimate was you're not going to make it. How do you want to go out?
Yeah.
You know, so through his battle, which was, just got worse and worse over the last, several months of his life, he choreographed, I laugh, George, great guy. He choreographed his own funeral.
Oh, okay.
Right. You know, who do you want to be? Your pallbearer? And, God bless George. But a tad lengthy, Stevie.
Yes.
Yeah. George went with the 3.5-hour funeral.
Oh no.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, like he had several people get up and speak, sort of 10 minutes at a time, but you were into 6, 7, 8 different people, 10 minutes minimum. He was a music phenom. He was a savant piano player as a kid, and then he did many, many things. He accomplished many things. He won a Juno Award. He was a piano player. He did a show with the Edmonton Symphony and the Calgary Symphony, and he wrote symphonies and played live. And so the music was a big part of it, Steve. And he had a number of different other people come up and play some music.
Yeah.
And then he had the Ukrainian shumka dancers, Stevie.
What? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, in the end, in the end of this thing, I mean, I was sitting with buddies and we were making fun of it. But in the end, I walked away and said, attaboy, George. That's my man,
Well, honestly, if I'm helping to plan this thing, it would always be a case of, well, we wanted to honor his final wishes. So it would be in accordance with his wishes, except for those ones. Like, yeah. He wanted Steve to dance around in a poncho covered in chocolate. No, I don't care. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. And now, conversely, Stevie, I told you about my friend Jake, my best friend, who I named my son after, who got the two holes in one at Kanata Lakes.
Right.
Okay. And the same round, same guy, right? The 1 in 67 million shot. I'm very close. His dad, when his dad died, I went to the funeral in Sudbury, and it was at a funeral home. And Jake got up at the start of it and said, here's what's going to happen today. We're going to have a 15-minute service, and then we're going upstairs to have some sandwiches.
Awesome. I think the dearly departed would be even dearer to his loved ones for having left those instructions.
Yeah, they're going to be salmon salad because that was his favorite. So it was like the lightning fast thing, and then everyone went up and bullshitted for an hour, after.
That's great.
The two types. Anyway, what'd you ask me? How do you want to go out?
Well, no, you hear people that, they chronicle their every moment once they get the diagnosis, jumping on social media. Today I did this.
Yeah.
Had a blood transfusion today. Here's a picture of me in my hospital bed. Whereas you have people like Jimmy Buffett and Norm MacDonald who went the other direction and went totally private on it. So, yeah. I mean, I guess it's a hard one to answer, really, until that day comes when you do get a diagnosis that that sets you on your ass.
Yeah, I told you, this sounds like a shameless plug, but these life stories that I'm doing, I've done them all in person. I've done 25 of them now, Steve, if you can believe it. You started helping me with it about a year and a half ago. And one of the guys I'd heard he was dying, and I phoned him. And when I do hear that from third parties, Stevie, I always phone and say, what's up? I'd heard this, what's going on? And he was very matter of fact. Yes, I'm dying. It's spreading. I've got cancer and it's going fast, And then he turned around and said, so what are you up to?
Wow.
And I was like, Nothing, Donnie. You know, I'm just, you know, blah,
blah, blah. It's where right. you complain about your heartburn.
Yeah, right, right. So it's just, you know, I'm glad he asked me that because I'm going to need to prepare an answer, you know, down the road when people who are sick and dying. And anyway, I said, I'm not. He goes, no, what are you doing these days? You know, and I said, I'm doing this, and this little side gig I had has turned into full time recording people's life stories. Before I got the word out, he said, I want to do it. I want to do it. And let's do it now. Let's do it fast. And so I did it online. First one I did, and he was in his bed, you know, with a laptop on his lap. I sent him a microphone, and he was slow and laborious, you know, in his delivery of things. And
is that the first one you've done where the guy had a diagnosis and he knew it was coming?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it is.
That's a lot different.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we did, it was, you know, you imagine the dynamic of it. You know, he was a very good friend of mine. Yeah. And so there were a lot of tears and a lot of it emotionally charged, but a lot of laughs. And the guy said, you know, how do you want to go out? So he had a chance to say everything he wanted to say to, you know, people he loved, people he owed apologies to in his life, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he felt at the end, you know, he wanted to show his authentic self to some of his, you know, his children and grandkids. I think may have a grandkid or two. I forget now, but anyway, he was sort of at peace at the end of this thing, you know, with what he wanted to say, and tell his kids and say to everyone who was in his life, you know? So, I might have the 3-hour funeral. No, Stevie,
no.
If you came out,
I'll come out for it. I won't last more than an hour, but you know, for everybody else, they got 2 more hours after that. That'll be good. I think you'd
Then I'll talk about you first. Cause knowing you're going to bolt. I'll get the guy, it's called an MC. I mean, you know, this guy had to have an MC at his own funeral. So,
Okay. So, we went down a road there to start out the show that not a lot of podcasts do, but we are prepared to take this thing wherever it does go. And that's where it went. And as long as we're in that area, we should pass along condolences to the family of Brad Maxwell. He passed away on Sunday after a battle with lung cancer. He was only 66 years of age. Brad Maxwell, obviously you have to be of a certain vintage to remember Brad Maxwell, but if you can picture like the early 80s Minnesota North Stars that kind of came out of nowhere and went all the way to the Stanley Cup final, lost in 7 to the New York Islanders as they were in the midst of their dynasty. That young North Stars team was really, really good. And he was on that team and he anchored their power play. He was one of their top defensemen and probably, Jimmy, most of your buddies who are all probably now, the NHL buddies, I mean, who are all in their early 60s now, almost all of them would have played and would have respected Brad Maxwell. Because not only was he able to play the game with skill, he was a tough hombre as well. Went down a wormhole when looking up Brad Maxwell for the show, and I found this fight that he had with Stan Jonathan, who was certainly one of the toughest guys of his era in the 70s, maybe trickling into the early 80s as well. And he held his own against a guy like Stan Jonathan. So tough customer, but passed away at the age of 66 on Sunday.
I remember that. Yep, I remember that. I did Troy. Speaking of stories, I did Troy's story too. And speaking of tough, and that's right. I think he might. Troy's a little younger than that, but right around that era of tough guys.
Well, Russ would have played against him.
Yeah,
for sure.
Russ might have played maybe because Russ was in mini, but probably. Yeah, this guy was 66. Yeah, Rusty isn't 60 yet, but probably crossed paths. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure they played against each other. But I think Russ went to Minnesota later on. He would have been with the Leafs. Brad Maxwell did play for the Leafs for a very short time, I think. But anyway, he'll be able to tell you on the Suspendables on the next edition of the Suspendables.
I tell you what, Stevie, we've been getting drilled because we've been lazy about doing shows over the summer.
Yep.
And, you know, and most of it was lazy, but there was some technical shit. But the last two shows, Russ has gone bananas, Stevie, with the offside stuff. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and I left it in.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
So great. That's got to be the best hook ever to go to listen to the last couple of shows.
Yeah, I would say. I would say.
Anyway, thank you for that plug.
Let us take a time out of the program because we have a great supporter, a couple of great supporters to plug. Thanks again to our great friends at Jim K. Ford and the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team.
At Jim K. Ford, we know that your business is your livelihood. That's why we offer a wide range of Ford commercial vehicles and Ford Pro services to meet all of your professional needs. Whether you're looking for a tough, durable pickup truck or a spacious cargo van, we have the perfect vehicle for you. And with Ford Pro, we make it easy to customize your ride with options and business solutions that are tailored to your unique requirements. Take your business to the next level. Come on down to Jim K. Ford or visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago, and one of the things he took care of was the staging, which is crucial.
I mean, and especially in this market, you have to stage in this market. You have to present the homes online well because buyers' expectations have changed, and they're so knowledgeable now. They go online, and they can see the photos. If they don't like the photos and it doesn't present well online, they're not going to go see the home.
Find out more from Glenn online today, glennwalton.com.
All right, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Steve.
I was thinking of welcoming the good listener back, but it's welcoming you back. You never went anywhere, but okay. An interesting hockey note today in that ESPN. Let's be honest. Connor Bedard is the number one overall draft pick. They're saying that he could be the next one. Connor McDavid level, generational player. But at the end of the day, still an NHL prospect. As good as they get as prospects go, but still a prospect. And ESPN, when projecting who the best players in the league will be, who the top point getters will be, Sidney Crosby places behind a guy who hasn't played game one yet in the NHL. What say you about that?
Well, a couple different things, Stevie. One is I've always liked it to develop news, you know, to create some controversy, to get people, especially with social media now, you know, to get people revved up, to get them maybe stepping beyond where they probably should, Steve, with their comments on social media. So I kind of like it. Mm-hmm. I kind of like it, right, from that side. Is it ridiculous that they would say that about the guy? It shows you how good the guy is, right? Or supposed to be. The other side is it's a total disrespect to Sid Crosby.
Yeah,
you know, not to the league or anything necessarily, but there's that part of it. But the biggest thing I think where it's completely wrong, if I run the Chicago Blackhawks, man, and I'm going, would you shut up with this shit? You know, right. Like, I don't care how good a kid is. There's still the wait and see how he handles the pressure of playing in the show.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
And that's what I would, if I'm Chicago going, oh my God, stop with this thing. Can the guy just try and slip under the radar? He can't, I guess, but there's enough there already without some poll coming out saying this kid will be the best, you know, I would be, you know, freaking out if I'm the GM or the coach of Chicago. Oh, please stop, you know?
Yeah. And I'm certainly sympathetic to the notion of wanting to, you know, generate clickbait and views and all that. That's sort of the nature of the beast. I'm the site editor of the Ottawa Senators page at the Hockey News.
Right.
So obviously clicks and views are huge. But at the same time, you have to maintain some level of credibility. And I think that ESPN is dabbling at, you know, not that they're the be all end all of the NHL or anything like that. But, you know, I think you dabble in losing your credibility when you put stuff like that out there. This is close to that. I don't think it necessarily puts you in that mode. But if Bedard comes out and has a terrible year, you know, people save these URLs from the websites. And, you know, what do they call it? Is a website all about it, or at least a Twitter account called Cold Takes Exposed. And this might come back to haunt you down the line, and people click on your site because they believe you know NHL hockey. and you say stuff like this, it's already controversial before game one. If it blows up in your face on top of that, that I think hacks away at your credibility as far as your NHL analysis goes. I could come out and say on the Hockey News Ottawa today, I believe that Connor Bedard is going to outscore Connor McDavid by 80 points this year. Well, obviously, I'd get clicks. People would be thinking I'm crazy. And when I'm wrong, obviously, it's going to hurt me in the long run. So that's what they're dabbling in, I think, today with that.
Yeah, it's just a total different ballgame, right? Totally different ballgame. You've never heard, you know, speaking of Russ or all these other guys who played in the game, you've never heard them say, you know, after this guy has this outrageous junior career, okay, or amateur career, you've never heard them go, this guy is going to light it up, baby. He's going to light it up. The most you'll ever hear is he looks like a special player, but let's wait and see.
Right.
Let's wait and see. You know, wait till you see that first game, Stevie, where, again, if you're Chicago going, oh, my God, would you shut up? Because all the other players in the league, Steve, look at this going, oh, I see. Okay. I got an idea how we're going to handle him in his first game. You know, I got an idea how we'll show him if he's ready for the show, you know. When someone fucking flattens them or they shadow the kid the whole time and he's frustrated. And I mean, it's not to mention the skill, Stevie, not to mention the skill that he's going up against. So Alexander Daigh, Steve, wasn't that a flop? And he was supposed to be speaking of Ottawa, didn't that end up being a completely failed project from huge expectations? High.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. That was the name that came to mind because yeah, he looks like a can't-miss prospect, but so did Alexander Daigh, and so did a lot of first overall draft picks throughout the history of the league. In your neck of the woods in Nail Yakupov, there was all kinds of discussion about him being a generational talent and barely lasted a few years in the league. Alexander Daigh at least had a decent NHL career, very average, maybe slightly below average, certainly not a generational talent, and that is a name that immediately came to mind. Just let the kid be a kid. He's still just 18 years old, and I think he's going to be a phenomenal talent, but we don't need to go ahead and compare him to Sidney Crosby, let alone suggest he's going to be better than Sidney Crosby, even in Crosby's advancing years here.
Yeah. There's other guys who are not going to be the best, but are supposed to be, you know, just under a savior on a team, you know, under... Like and Edmonton, like Puljujarvi. I mean, the guy was, you know, he came in with, they re-signed him. They were so high on the guy, and he's like, shit. Well, they got rid of him. There's enough of it going on in the league. But anyway, the only reason I like it is to troll through comments from and laugh at people's comments. The rest of it does not bode well. It just does not bode well. We've sold out we got the ticket sales already. We've got all this. There's a ton of hype. But for sure, Stevie, any veteran player on that team or office guy, management guy is going, got our fingers crossed. Let's wait and see.
Right.
So.
All right. Closing it out today with the ladies' side of things in the sports world. I want to talk about this new Women's Professional Hockey League. First, I want to ask you about this because, you know, golf is your favorite sport. This incident that happened on the ladies' European tour, it was the Irish Open, KPMG Open, I think they call it. But so Anne Van Dam is heading to a playoff hole, and she's being driven to the playoff hole by, I guess, a marshal. And they have to go, I guess somebody says, don't drive up the fairway, we want you off to the side. So they try to get under the ropes and drive where the gallery normally walks. And so they try to slide the cart, they're driving, of course, underneath the rope. They hold it up, but they don't hold it up long enough as the cart goes underneath it. The rope hooks onto Van Damme's driver and snaps it in two. So she's got to.
I'm laughing because I saw how it happened. And then they stopped the cart. And go, oh, God, it pulled the bag off, right? It pulled the whole bag off.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, Jesus, you know, and they both, you know, turn around, look at it, and then it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Really? Really?
But just to give you an idea how crazy that is, the airline earlier in the week broke and Van Damme's regular driver. This was actually her backup driver.
Oh,
imagine,
no.
Yeah, losing two drivers in the same. So she had nothing, no driver for the playoff hole, and she had to use a 3-wood off the tee on the 18th hole, par 5, and she's got two other golfers that she's competing with in the playoff hole. She still outdrives them with her 3-wood.
Oh, there we go.
And then the next shot, hits it to 11 feet for an eagle try from 11 feet.
Oh, what a story.
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't read the rest of it. I just saw the video.
Yeah. But loses anyway, because she missed her putt after the girl that was a little farther away hammered home an eagle putt of her own, and she ends up losing that way. So what a crazy finish for Anne Van Damme on the Ladies European Tour.
Yeah. The ruling is there'll be a lot of serious golfers go, what's the ruling? And I don't know. I think if you damage a club during a round, are you allowed to replace it?
Yeah.
And I think, I guess if it's by accident, you might be able to. Can she replace it? Well, is that during a round now?
Right. Yeah, I think I read something along the lines, I'm not sure of the rule, but I think I read in the story was that because she was almost at the 18th, she just didn't have time to go to the clubhouse and retrieve a driver. And certainly she wouldn't trust the driver, some strange driver, as much as her 3-wood.
Yeah, that's some bad luck there.
Jesus. Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time.
Stevie, before we go, sir. I have other things I want to talk about.
But I want to talk about the women's pro hockey.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Before we go. So the Professional Women's Hockey League, it's got its free agents. I was going to say a free agent frenzy happening, but the thing's been open since, I think, Friday. Here we are in September 4th right now. By the way, my 30th wedding anniversary today. James. Huh? Not bad, right?
Nice, man.
And
nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy anniversary. That's a big
thanks.
One.
Appreciate it.
Beautiful.
So for 3 days now, the free agency period for the Professional Women's Hockey League has been open. Not one person has been signed as of yet. So whatever. There are six teams in this league, and one of them is hailing from the city of Ottawa. They're going to play at Lansdowne Park at the TD Place Arena. Mm-hmm. And I'll be keen to see how this all works out. I think it's set up with the players getting, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of between $35,000 and $80,000. Not sure how this free agent stuff will work, if they can go beyond $80,000, but I think it's $1.2 million payroll for each team, which is a pittance, of course, by NHL standards, but at least it's a big step forward. And so, I'm keen to see if fans are going to come out and support it. And I applaud the guys who put their money out to help out with this thing.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, the whole thing's been met with a bunch of controversy, right? Before this league was formed, right? About women's hockey, you know, can it survive? Can they get their comeuppance as pro players? You know, what are we going to do? Can they get support? You know, people go everywhere from absolutely to other people saying they're just not going to draw a crowd. They go to the business side of the model, Steve, saying, you know, we can't do this. The reason NHL, you know, comparing them to NHL. Was always in my mind apples to oranges, but if you do, then you're gonna you know if you want to go down that road, well, you'll never even get to center ice, right? Because you're just not going to generate the cash in the business and ticket sales. So there was a bunch of that, a bunch of different angles on it. But I think this finally, Steve, gives everybody, the chance to say, here we go, let's see what happens. Here we go. Mm-hmm. You've got support from the NHL. I read a bunch of comments from Bill Daly about it. You know, they're gonna expand games. They've got it's not just a one and out or one and done. They're I think it's 25 games, and then they're gonna add 10, I think, in the following year, and on and on. So they have a plan, and so I'm of the school of okay, there we go. You got more money than, you know, originally when they're saying, you know, some of those players were making $12,000 in a failed attempt, I think, Steve, the last sort of pro hockey league.
I think some got to $25,000, I want to say.
Yeah. Okay. So off we go. That's off we go. Let's see what happens. What happens.
So
Do I think it'll work? I got to stick to my own speech here. Let's see what happens. I don't know.
Yep. Well, it would be a first, because it just hasn't worked to this stage. This is a a league that kind of takes over for the Premier Hockey Federation, which wrapped up a few months ago, and the PHF calls it quits. And now this this league takes over with the backing of, well, most of the executive base of the LA Dodgers. And so there's money behind it. And like I say, $1.2 million in total payroll, I believe, per team. It'll be Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Boston, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the New York City area. They announced the six GMs on Friday as well. And they've got the free agency window closing on September 10th. They've got the PWHL draft on September 18th. And yeah, I'm hopeful and don't want to make
any
predictions. When's
it start, Stevie? When's the first game
supposed to be? I don't know the exact date, but it's 24 games and they'll start in January.
So listen, Ottawa, show up in droves, man.
Yep.
Sell it out. You know, sell it out. I got a feeling it will, Steve. I got a feeling that, yeah. It comes on the heels, Steve. Did you see that story where in Nebraska, the women's volleyball team had a game and they played it at the 90,000 seat arena stadium?
Yeah.
Football stadium, yeah. And 92,000 showed up.
Yeah, that was they was already awesome in that. So the women's volleyball team for Nebraska, they were drawing something like 17,000-18,000 fans, you know, just for the sport and to go out and support the team.
Really?
Wow. Which was, and that was a women's volleyball record. And then I think Wisconsin, I want to say, ended up beating that. And so Nebraska said, no more Mr. Nice Guy. Stop fooling around here. Let's go all out. Let's use the football stadium and really bury this record. And it ended up being the most people, 92,000 and a bit of change, 92,000 people. It was the largest attended women's sporting event in world history.
Yeah, wow, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Very, very
yeah,
cool.
Super cool, yeah. So it shows you that some of the marketing of that stuff, Steve, maybe, you know, that makes sense, right? I was going, how did that happen, right? When you hear this backstory of going, oh yeah, okay, we're gonna have a little challenge here about who can get more people. We'll show you.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something to look at. You know, maybe that's something to look at. We're gonna try and draw more fans than you can.
Right.
So anyway, but I have a feeling that first game will sell out. First home game for Ottawa.
We know there's potential there. It's just a matter of, you know, making it mean something to people, that people, you know, they want their team to win. You know, you think about women's soccer. It makes sense, you know, Olympics, World Cup. Canada's one of many, many teams, many countries that is very good at soccer and wants to win it all. Whereas women's hockey to this point has been America and Canada. It mm-hmm. works with America and Canada, but it hasn't worked with much else. Right. So hopefully that, you know, whatever, because there obviously is passion there for women's hockey. If they can capture 20% of that, if they can capture some of the fans who are all on social media applauding this is great news for Ottawa, this is great news for women's hockey. If mm-hmm. they can get a quarter of those people, the thing will be a success. So we'll keep our fingers crossed.
So where they're really smart, Steve, okay? Where they're really smart is those six teams are within an hour flight of each other, right? So it's going to keep the cost down. It's going to... you know, the travel, maybe, you know, I don't know. You go to Ottawa, Montreal, right? We don't have to fly. They may bus. I don't know, but it's going to, I believe that'll keep the cost down. Hopefully yeah. the ticket price, Steve, will be something where people can look at it and go, okay, here we go. It doesn't cost me $500 here to take my kid or two to the hockey game. You know, concession prices. I hope it all stays down, right? And that people will look at it going, okay, this makes a little more sense, you know, to catch some live pro sports. So.
Yeah, I would say that that's their real window of opportunity because almost every level of interesting hockey that you might want to take your family to has gotten outrageous. And if you can take a, you know, a family of four to go mm-hmm. see a pro women's hockey game some night and get it all done for under $100.
Yeah.
I think that every family in Ottawa would applaud that as a possible option for them with their entertainment dollar.
Yeah, and I mean, men's soccer, Stevie, women's soccer, you know, the pro soccer league, right, which has been around for a while, you know, is getting great crowd. Lacrosse, Stevie, when they went pro, right? A lot of people soaked it up. So,
yep. Ladies soccer is getting going with their own professional league as well. So it's a great time for women's sports, and we'll see how it all goes. You had a final thought before we wrap this up?
It's the Labor Day Classic, Stevie.
Right.
Weekend. Does Ottawa play Montreal? Is that who they're supposed to be usually on this weekend? No, I know it's Hamilton, Toronto, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, and Edmonton, Calgary.
Yeah. This is the year that Ottawa got a bye. Somebody's always got to get a bye in a 9-team league. It was Ottawa's turn this year.
Okay. So we always end up laughing, Steve, when people are starting to look at, I think they're about week 10 right now. And Edmonton, for example, has had two wins, right? And we always end up saying, well, what makes it kind of laughable is they still have a shot at making the playoffs, right? And in the past, I've always said, you know, that's ridiculous, right? But I was thinking about it today, Stevie. I said, you know what? The CFL's really smart. You know, they're really smart to say, hang in there, okay? Don't get down on your team because they might make the playoffs.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's not a bad, when I flip-flop it and look at it, I go, that's not a bad marketing idea for your city and your team and your league, you know? That there's only two, I don't know, how's it work, Stevie? Maybe only two teams miss the playoffs, Steve? I don't know. Only two miss?
Oh, no, sorry, three.
Yeah, out of 9 teams, right? Is that what there is, 9?
Yep,
correct. It's not a bad idea, Stevie. It's not a bad idea when we look at this and go, you know, let's make it so almost every team can make the playoffs.
Well, you've got one of the best emerging stories in the entire league in Trey Ford, their new quarterback, who has made them look like an entirely different ball club the last couple of weeks. They were 0-9, enter Trey Ford, and all of a sudden, they look like a really good football team. They outclassed Ottawa so badly last week. And later on today, they're going to take on the Calgary Stampeders. If they win that game, they'll be out of last place. They'll be tied with Calgary at 3-9. So I'll have a better answer for you. I think if Edmonton handles Calgary the way they did Ottawa last week, I think Edmonton is going to be going to the CFL playoffs this season.
Yeah, watch this guy. He's like a wicked runner. Ford.
And another Canadian.
Yeah. Watch him go. Watch him. A lot of broken plays, Stevie, where he marches for first downs.
Yeah.
Steve, I've got a question for you to consider before we leave this afternoon.
All right, sir.
If you were in the NHL, if you played in the NHL and you were making big dough, it's like $5 million plus.
Right.
Okay. And you were making it for a few, you're going to be set for life. Okay. There's all this talk about, good God, you know, everyone, like the LIV Golf Tour, it's all for money, players for money, you know. So if you were making, say you had a 8-year deal, Steve, okay, you had a $40 million deal at $5 million a year, but you've never won a Stanley Cup. Would you give up 2 years of salary to win a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I probably would. Those earlier years will set me up for life. No problem there. And it's always been a dream, you know, since being a child, not to make a bunch of money. The dream as a child was to hoist the Stanley Cup and feel what that feels like. So, yes.
Okay, what length would you go to have to give something up? How far would you go to win a Stanley Cup?
Well, once I felt like I was set for life, I would absolutely be fine with giving up those couple of years. What do you mean? How far would I go?
Would you go 3 years?
Oh, I see.
Financially. Would you say if you signed a $40 million deal, okay, and you haven't won a Stanley Cup, you've been in the league for a while, okay, you haven't won one. If they come to you and go, look it, you know, which it's hypothetical, obviously, but would you give up 20 mil out of your $40 million salary to win a Stanley Cup?
Right. We're getting close to the stage where I would probably start going, okay, what's more important to me, my childhood dream of winning a Stanley Cup or setting up my grandchildren financially for life as well? So,
yeah,
it would be in that vicinity where I would say, yeah, no, I'll take the money.
Not sure. Yeah.
Yeah. We all have our price, James, and you were you're dabbling in where I'd probably turn in the childhood dream. What about you?
I wouldn't give it up for 1 second, Steve. I go, I don't give a fuck. Give me the $5 million. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm not giving up one red cent to hoist the Stanley Cup. Screw that thing.
Who cares? Yeah. I don't want to set a precedent here.
I'll just live vicariously through Gretz over here.
Yeah. I don't know what I would do. I'm not sure what I would do. I'm not sure.
Well, let's put it in terms that you better understand and appreciate. Let's talk about the green jacket.
Oof.
What are you giving up? How much money are you giving up for that?
Wow. Wow.
I'll present it to you. Here you go, Jungle. Here you go. The way Mike Weir did when he's getting it from Tiger. Thanks, Tig. I've never once before that or after heard anybody call him Tig.
Except
but anyway, back to the question.
I would give up a ton. I would give up. I think it's rare for a golfer, first of all, to have a chance at winning a green jacket than it is for a Stanley Cup team or a potential Stanley Cup team.
Right.
I think it's way rare, but I think I would give up everything.
What? Everything?
To win a green jacket.
So you have $80 million in earnings. Mr. Jerome, here's your green jacket. Give us the $80 million back.
I don't know, Stevie. I don't know.
You got to save a little money in there. Come on.
I don't know. Give me, but the point of it is there's no middle ground here. You can't, it's like you've got to give up a ton. Mm-hmm. You've got to give up a whack here to get the Holy Grail. You got to give up a whack.
The question is basically, what would you pay? What's the most amount of money you would pay? Whether it's money you've already earned or future earnings, whatever it is, what's that monetary figure for you to win a green jacket? How much would you actually give up?
Yeah, I think I might give up everything and Stevie and just say, I'll go back to work and pouring coffee at Starbucks, but I got a green jacket.
Right.
I think, I don't know.
I did get a kick out of Brian Harman after he won his major this year. How are you going to celebrate? Oh, I'm going back home to drive the tractor and cut grass. What?
Yeah.
What happened to Disney World?
Yeah. Buying a Ferrari, renting a yacht, something. Exactly. Yeah. Lighting it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a website. You can check it anytime, stevewproject.com. We'll put that out to you. What's the most amount of money you would pay to win the championship that you love most? You can send us an email, stevewproject@outlook.com. James, enjoy your day, and we'll talk to you next time.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.
Thanks for being with us on the SWP. Please subscribe today or support us on Patreon at stevewproject.com.